The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Miss a segment? Want to share a segment with a friend? Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com to catch the podcast. Plus, hear our past shows. That's SundayMorningNewsmakers.com.
Supervisor Andrew Doe represents District 1, Central Orange County, in Orange County, and he is joining us right now to talk about some of the ramifications from some of the laws and bills that have been passed in the area of crime in California. Supervisor Doe, thank you so much for being with us.
Larry, nice to be with you again.
One of the areas that you wanted to talk about today, and you wanted to explain to folks, let's just kind of go through them. One is AB 109, that was a realignment that was passed and put in place several years ago when there was overcrowding at the state and budget crisis, not enough jail beds in prison, and prisoners were kind of dumped down the chain on the counties, and this had some repercussions that you say we're seeing today. Walk us into this story.
Sure. AB 109 was purportedly passed in order to try to address ways to rehabilitate inmates. But what it really was is a transferring of felons down to county supervision as opposed to be in state prison and in the state parole system. So what it says is when people commit new crimes, even if they have a violent history and a lengthy criminal history, they are still treated as if they don't have any history, and they are sentenced based on their new offense only and are kept here in our local jail. And then felons who with a more current incarceration based on nonviolent crimes, even though they have a violent history, are still released down to be supervised by our county probation department. So what that leads to is you have our jail, instead of just having lightweight offenders in the past, now we have long-term felons serving their time here locally instead of in state prison, Larry.
So what does that do as far as being back on the streets or people being released and committing more crimes? Are we seeing some evidence of crime going up from this?
Oh, by itself, AB 109 might not have led to that conclusion, even though, yes, when they are released down here because of the new lighter sentences, that they do get out sooner. But when you couple AB 109 with Prop 47 and 57, Larry, that's where the cumulative effect of those three laws together have caused us to be in the situation that we're in as a community,
right,
which is higher crime.
Take those two propositions you mentioned. What are they again,
okay,
and what did they do?
Okay, so Prop 47 reduced the sentences for drug offenses. Okay, so in the past, they would be treated as felonies, okay, serious crimes, and if they are repeat offenders, they can go to prison. They are now, a lot of them are misdemeanors. And all thefts under $950 are considered to be misdemeanors, even if they are for repeated offenders. So in the past, I'm a former deputy district attorney. People with three or more prior convictions for petty theft, misdemeanors, we would treat the fourth one and on as felonies. Okay, so that means they are treated more severely. Now, every one of them is treated as if they don't have any prior history. So they can commit a crime, a property crime today, and then tomorrow get arrested again, and it's as if today's crime never happened. They are treated as a misdemeanor again. So think about that. That means someone committing crime on a repeated basis can basically flout the law because they will never be arrested. They will never be considered a repeated offenders. Okay, so that's one. And then Prop 57 is where it gets really tricky in that we allow people to be sentenced and paroled, Larry, based only on their latest offense. meaning if they commit a crime, they are only sentenced and, well, they may be sentenced, but they are considered to be parolable after they serve their time on the underlying new offense, meaning all of the aggravating factors that normally we would take into account, you know, to increase the sentencing, like second strike, weapons, gang affiliation, you know, you're talking about the drug weight enhancement. There are many factors that prosecutors would take into account in sentencing people. Those things are disregarded. So, say someone with a violent history, repeated offenders, with all of the aggravating factors combined, may have a sentence of, say, 20 years. But if we are making that person eligible for parole after only the main new offense, sometimes they are eligible for parole within 3 to 4 years of the 20-year sentence. Mm. You see?
Yeah.
So that's where people get out early. But it's also, here's the crazy thing, is that Prop 57 also listed specifically as nonviolent crimes that are violent by any reasonable person standard, okay? Like assault with a deadly weapon, solicitation to commit murder, domestic violence, battery with serious bodily injury, rape, sodomy, oral copulation of an unconscious person or by use of date rape drugs. I mean, the list goes on and on, including assault with a deadly weapon on peace officer, being in the street gangs. I mean, Larry, it's crazy. This list of so-called nonviolent offenses that will allow people to be paroled early, I mean, who in the world would look at that list and say those are nonviolent offenses?
Yet these became the law of the land, and you have some people throwing their hands up saying, oh, well, that's what the voters want. That's what legislators in our state want. And people feel powerless out there. They read the headlines. They hear about crime sprees, violent crime activities, and they hear that these people had long rap sheets, and they roll their eyes feeling like there's nothing they can do. How do you take this story? You've highlighted these problems with the law, things that got passed, voters that got duped, and lawmakers that don't seem to be changing this. How do we get action? How do people get this changed?
In shorter terms, I would say we have to protect ourselves by stepping up in terms of watching out for our neighborhood, using surveillance method or cameras to report petty crimes. Data provided by the public do play an important role in us shaping our policy going forward.
Now, I hear what you say there, but I want to challenge you because we had on the program last week a local police chief who cited examples of people stealing cars in one day, caught, out the next, stealing another one, in one day, out the next, that these people are being returned to the streets. What is the motivation of a business with security cameras pointing the finger to and getting arrested somebody who's just going to be back on the streets?
Oh, I agree with you, Larry, and I agree with the police chiefs everywhere. And here is where we have this dichotomy. People that have to deal with this on a daily basis, like the county with our probation department and the sheriff department and the police department, we all see the impact of these laws. But the people, you know, in the higher up in government, they seem to play this denial game where they said there is no correlation, right? No causation linking directly between these laws and the increase in crime. I disagree. I think the timing of it and the severity of it and the kind of people that we keep rearresting over and over seem to indicate that they come exactly directly from the AB 109, Prop 47, and Prop 57 population.
There's a term called flash incarceration that's kind of developed out of all this. And it is what it says, where people are being picked up for violations, put in jail for a few days, and then let back out. There are examples of violent crime suspects that went through a bunch of this, are back on the streets, and hurting people, killing people,
right?
Correct?
Right. Well, so let's talk about what we can do in the long run that's probably more constructive for us as a society, Larry, is we have to demand that our elected officials are more honest about the law that they put on the proposition. The Attorney General of the state of California has the power to write the description of these propositions and give it whatever the name that that person deems is appropriate. So when you have Prop 47 with this very generic title, Reduced Penalties for Some Crimes Initiative, right? I mean, on the face of it, no problem there. When you have Prop 57, the name is the Public Safety and Rehabilitation Act. You see, these are all designed to mislead the public, because if people know about the impact, what that really means in terms of early parole, in terms of listing these violent felonies as somehow nonviolent and making people eligible for things that they should not be eligible for, I don't think the public would vote for it. But when you have people, someone with a political agenda, being allowed to give it these generically mundane names, the public would never know. And so it's up to us to pay real close attention and research properly before we vote.
Yeah, there's some efforts, I understand, to take away that authority from a partisan elected state attorney general to be able to push his views in these titles. Do you support that kind of effort to take that away from him?
I think so, yes. I think it should be based on some commission, made up of members of the general public and different stakeholders in society.
Yeah, we certainly saw this with the Prop 6 and the other efforts to repeal the gas tax this past year, when the titles of it wouldn't reflect honestly what it was about. Got about 30 seconds left. Final thoughts from you. What's your final thoughts on these lawmakers that don't want to change and want to have these lessened sentences? What's the deal with them? How come they're not facing scrutiny?
Next time they're up for re-election, they are facing scrutiny once the public is aware of this kind of thing going on. But more importantly, let's look at AB 109, Prop 47, 57 in the proper context. All of this is a social experiment, okay, which is that we are arresting and sentencing people without regards to their prior history or aggravating factors. And on the list of the so-called nonviolent felonies, outright disregard for public safety.
With that, I got to leave it there. Supervisor Andrew Doe represents the 1st Supervisorial District. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today. It's good to have you on.
Thank you, Larry.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.